I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Black Ops Private Investigators. We operate out of New York City, but we cover the entire state of New York. I specialize in murder cases, robbery, hunting down serial killers, bail enforcement. For the past 3 years, I've been mainly doing murder cases. I've solved 98 cases in the past 2 years, freed 98 people. All the cases I've been on, the cases were dismissed. None of them went to trial. I started out as an Army counterintelligence officer with the 18th Airborne out of Fort Bragg, and did that for 23 and a half years. I just retired about a year ago, and now I'm in the retired reserves. I also worked as a dignitary protection specialist, formerly for a company known as Blackwater, but now you know as Academy. I helped protect the U.S. Ambassador Cunningham in Afghanistan. In addition, I was also a New York City police officer for about 14 years. And then after my leaving of the department, I decided to work for the Department of State. And then after I worked for the Department of State, I came back and opened up the business 5 years ago. And the one amazing thing that has happened in the past 5 years is that I've been able to give the people a service that I couldn't give as a police officer. And the justice I could not give as a police officer, now I give as a private investigator. And it's been one humbling, eye-opening experience for me.
Interesting. What is it that that keeps you from doing that as a police officer? And what do you do as a PI to make it happen?
Well, as a police officer, you have a lot of restrictions. You have everybody telling you what you can do or not do. And it's not what you know, but who you know. As a private investigator, I utilize my military investigative skills that I learned as an intelligence officer. And I provide the military training to the civilian world. And believe it or not, that technique works. It's worked 98 times. And I've had no problems with it. I don't pursue criminals like they do in the police department. They work from 9 to 5 or from 6 to 2:30. I work 17, sometimes 18 hours a day, 6 days a week, sometimes seven. I deal with the people on a personal level. I get out in the street, I'll eat with them, I'll have coffee with them, I'll sit down in the parks with them. And, you know, I meet all types of all varieties of people from all different backgrounds and education levels. And I'm able to interact with them one-on-one. As a police officer, I wasn't given that type of freedom. And now that I do have that freedom, I can, you know, operate as a military intelligence officer, except in the civilian world. And let me tell you something, the recipe works. It really does. I've had no problems, in essence, in solving crimes. It's been just a blessing to help the poor. In essence, what I do now that I couldn't do as a police officer is I give the voiceless a voice.
How did you get involved with Stephen Mang in his film Crime and Punishment?
He found out about this lawsuit for the NYPD 12. In actuality, I was the guy that sat down with the lawyers forming the lawsuit before it even became a lawsuit. And I was telling them that this is what we need to do, and I have certain cops that I can get together to show these type of injustices, because I've been having all these police officers complain to me. And so Steve came to see me, and he was like, wow, it's amazing what you're doing. Can I film you? So I'll be honest, at first I was a little bit nervous about it because I'm like, I'm going to have some guy with a camera following me in the street. But to be honest, I was really shocked on how effective in having him film and show me in the courts and so forth and put pressure on the district attorneys that it would help me in my cases. And it did. Because, you know, a lot of times they don't want you to see the injustice that I expose. This is why the city dismisses the cases and so forth. So Steve started to follow me, and that's how I became in Crime and Punishment.
And what role did you play in Crime and Punishment?
Well, Steve recorded me on one of my famous cases. It was the Pedro Hernandez case. Happened to do with a detective who was gambling for people's freedoms in the street. And he would tell mothers, Black and Hispanic mothers, if you spread your legs to me, I won't arrest your children. And I got this guy on film, gambling for people's freedoms. And I didn't think it was going to be true what they were telling me, but as I furthered my investigation, it was. So then I found out this kid, Pedro Hernandez, his mother was being tormented by the police and sexually harassed numerous times by this detective. Long story short, I wound up proving six of Pedro's cases innocent, and they all got dismissed based on the evidence that I collected. During one of my most famous cases, Carrie Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy's daughter, read about me in an article called Soul Snatchers 2 by Sean King, and she came down and bailed Pedro Hernandez out. And I'll never forget it because I got a phone call and he said, it was Carrie Kennedy. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I thought it was another crazy person called me. But sure enough, it was her. And she actually came down to bail this kid out. She paid like $150,000 to bail him out. And then I won the case. The case got dismissed. So this is the story that you feature in Crime and Punishment. And then not only that, but you see something else that's even more intricate in Crime and Punishment. You see the introduction of a new piece of legislation that I wrote, which is called the Department of Civil Injustice. Myself and Frank Serpico from the movie Serpico, he collaborated with me on this new agency. And great news, actually, you're going to be the first person I say on radio to that I now have two sponsors, one from the State Assembly and one from the Senate, which is now going to sponsor this new agency, which will bring oversight over the prosecutors and oversight over the police department statewide and correction officers and fire department. Currently, a prosecutor right now can falsely incarcerate you, and then we can find out that the prosecutor knew that you were innocent, but there's no law to punish them. So in essence, they're above the law. They have immunity. And how can you have a government which prosecutors have no oversight over? You can't have anybody above the law. You and I both know absolute power corrupts absolutely, like Machiavelli said. So this new agency will stop that. And now I have the people that are going to sponsor that. And possibly now we will be the first state in the United States to introduce this new piece of legislation, which will reinforce the new prosecutorial misconduct bill that was just passed and signed by the governor. This will strengthen the very pillar of justice and provide a mechanism of relief for the millions in New York State so that they can get justice no matter where we're at. And it will also give the ability, as per Frank Serpico, for a cop to report corruption without fear of retaliation. And lastly, it will also have subpoena powers, which will be able to do an investigation from the police commissioner down to the person that washes the floors, to the head district attorney, down to the person that types the letters, okay? It will hold everybody accountable as it's supposed to be. No one is supposed to be above the law. And that's what me and Frank are making sure of. And part of that's featured in Crime and Punishment as well. It's a great film because it talks about many aspects of corruption. And it also talks about the quota system, which is not just a New York City problem, but it's a United States problem. We're all besieged by the same injustice and that New York City is generating on its backs of its children, over $900 million a year in revenue. You have to remember, New York State has the largest police force in the world. So more than 38 states copy our police patrol guard procedures. So when you copy the procedures, you copy the problem. Crime and Punishment actually shows you this in reality. There is no acting. Everything you see is real.
What can folks expect who come to the screening and the talk afterwards?
Well, they can expect to speak with myself and speak with the director and possibly some other the individuals in the movie and see the solutions we're giving. And not only that, but I'm letting everybody know that you can get involved with us and actually come to Albany and be part of the actual hearing. When this hearing happens, sometime in February or March, I can tell you now, it's going to be open to the public, and it will seat over 500 people, and we're going to be asking people from all the state to come. Currently, right now, backing me is the NAACP, Norman Siegel, former ACLU president, Sean King, a journalist, and also Serpico. So you'll be seeing and hearing from these individuals in person and at the hearing, and we will be giving you the information on how to participate and be part of this change that the United States so desperately needs. So Crime and Punishment will be an eye-opening experience, and I ask all to come and see it. so they can be part of this and also be part of making history, bringing about social change.